Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good morning to you. We're going to have a breezy day, mostly cloudy, not like yesterday with all the rain, just some scattered showers. Highs about 83, trades 15 to 25 miles per hour. Great day to get out and play. Kauai Lagoons has a 920. Makaha East has a 903. It's 58 degrees. Volcano has a 1012. Alrighty, first off, I need to tell you, Sony Open in Hawaii needs your help to make the Sony Open in Hawaii. They need ShotLink operators. You'll use the ShotLink system to help keep track of the distance the ball travels. They train you. You'll be inside the ropes following the players during competition at Wailea Country Club. And of course, your help makes the Sony Open in Hawaii possible. And you help raise a whole lot of money for Hawaii charities. Go to www.sonyopeninhawaii.com to register. We're going to talk with none other than the senior writer at Golf Week, Golf Channel contributor, Jeff Shackelford. If I'm not mistaken, this is our 10th annual New Year's Eve show. But first, we need to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you in part by Creative Plumbing. Call Creative Plumbing because it has to be done right. Futura Stone, for your business or residence. Pavers for your driveways and parking lots, concrete-colored floors, and decorative stone floors. And Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Maui School of Golf. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And our Oahu extraction folks, when it floods like it did yesterday, gets in your home, inundates your home with mud, debris, call Oahu Extraction 24/7, 808-330-6212. And Aloha Power Equipment, Hawaii's largest power equipment showroom. Their Honolulu, their Sand Island location, is open, and they are still blowing out the specials this New Year's week. So get on over to Aloha Power Equipment. Now, in the clubhouse, Jeff Shackelford, senior writer, Golf Week, contributor to Golf Channel. He's an author. He's a writer. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff.
Danielle, as always, I cannot believe this is 10 years we've been doing this.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean,
it is.
You know, we always talk about what happened this past year, what's coming this year. And so I have a feeling that what you would put at the top of your list for the biggest story of the year would be?
Well, Tiger Woods, of course. I don't think that there's any question that we're always most intrigued by what Tiger does and what he's capable of doing, and seemingly healthy and back, and the chance to, I mean, he had two chances at majors last year, and I saw the one at the Open Championship firsthand, and he literally made one mistake the final day, and that was the difference, which I'm sure he's thought about a little bit over the holidays and been annoyed with, but he also has to think, my gosh, what an incredible thing to have already been back in contention on the most extreme test possible at Carnoustie. So he's just different. He brings a different crowd and different number of eyeballs to the sport. So I think that there's just no question. He's the story.
He's the story. You know, not just the comeback. He's the story. He makes the energy in golf hair stand up. You know, everybody stands up. Everybody, he's the Pied Piper. As we saw at the Tour Championship, it was amazing to watch that. So let's go into 2019. So he had the hero, didn't do so well. What are your thoughts on the way he played that tournament?
I'm sorry, with who?
You know, when he played his own tournament, limited field.
Danielle, he was mailing that one in. Are you kidding? He was spent from the year. He made a couple of mistakes in his schedule at the end, and he just was never. I mean, he got through the Ryder Cup
barely,
which I think spoke more to his talent than probably anything else he did last year, because he was so visibly shot from the Tour Championship, and there he was carrying Patrick Reed, who couldn't do anything. And that was more impressive in a lot of ways to me, because it's just his body was done. He'd lost a lot of weight. He didn't, he didn't look good. He'd gone through 3 weeks in a row, and or 3 or 4 weeks in 90-degree weather, and that was not something he wanted to be doing. He wasn't in shape for that. And with everything else that goes with that. And so I think that he's just really been focused on kind of recharging, and I think we're going to see that going forward. He telegraphed that at the Hero, that he's not going to be somebody who plays a huge schedule as he gets older. And I won't be surprised if he passes on Torrey Pines this year and starts at Riviera. And kind of, I mean, he's never going to be Ben Hogan after the car wreck and 7 or 8 tournaments a year, but he's not going to be somebody who plays a ton, because and that's fine. I mean, I'm glad he kind of learned a lesson from what happened, I think.
No, I think he did, because I don't think he expected to play that much.
No, he didn't, and he didn't think he would make it to Firestone. He did, and then I don't think he really thought he was going to play all the playoff events, so that was why he did that, and he felt like things were going well. But you could see clearly as the playoffs proceeded, and they had all the crazy weather, and it was hot, and then there was a lot of rain, and a lot of different swings there. You could just see where he was lamenting that a little bit. But hey, it ended beautifully, and he got that great win to end the year to make his off season that much better.
Now, I've got to talk to you about the match, but just a prediction from Jeff Shackelford, senior writer, Golf Week, and contributor, Golf Channel. What do you see for Tiger 2019? A major? Another win?
Yeah, I think he's going to win 3 tour events, and I think he's going to win a major championship. I feel like Pebble Beach is his best chance, just because of his love of that place and the way he's striking the ball now. That seems to me like the most likely. You know, Royal Portrush is the host of the Open Championship, and very few players know anything about that. But that is the major for the next. I'll be bullish here and say the next decade, the Tiger will always have the best chance to win the Open Championship.
Awesome. Well, it's his iron play and the way he knows how to work a golf course, a Lynx golf course, that's just always been incredible to watch. About the match, most of us didn't think it would happen again because it was a snooze fest. Now we hear that there's a deal for a 3-year
yeah.
Right? And then someone says it's not a done deal. I think that was Tiger's house that said, no, it's not a done deal. What do you hear?
My understanding is they've always had a plan to do this year and then try to branch it out. And I'm sure that with the money involved and the people involved trying to launch different ways to get content to us, that they will want to continue to do it. I don't, you know any of the numbers or if any of them are believable that they put out. But I think there was enough interest that shows that it's something they want to explore. I mean, that's the other big story, I think, for a lot of people on the golf business side in 2019 to watch, is there's just all of this jockeying going on with streaming and television and how you will watch golf going forward. And I'm mostly disgusted with most of it, because I think that a lot of this is going to be pushed on us and pushed forward. Things like the match, maybe before the technology is ready. And so it's more of a business fight and a behind-the-scenes jockeying for position on who has rights and things. And none of it really right now benefits the viewer. And so that's why I'm not afraid to be the old cranky curmudgeon saying, hey, you know, cable isn't great, but it works. So before you force us to watch something, make sure it works. And that was, you know, a highlight of the match was they couldn't take your money, you know, and that was pretty embarrassing.
That was wonderful. I was like, oh, yeah. Great, I'm going to get $20 back.
Yeah, me too.
Because it wasn't worth $20.
Yeah. Yeah, I paid via a normal old-style pay-per-view.
Yes, me too.
And it worked great, but the people who tried on, I don't know one person who tried to pay for it online that was able to make it work. And they're claiming they got 1 million people that paid before they decided to refund all the money. I'm not buying that story.
Okay. Century Tournament of Champions. We have the champions from the entire year coming. I mean, this is an incredible field. Were you surprised at all that Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and Justin Rose chose not to?
No, not at all. Well, maybe Justin Rose surprised me a little, but he played so much at the end of the year. I don't know why, but he did. Obviously, some of it was supporting the European Tour, but he was turning up in a couple places there in December, and you're like, oh, geez. I am not surprised, though, with Tiger and Phil. And like I said, they're getting older, and so they, even in their prime, they started passing on this event. And Phil, maybe a touch, just because he needs to do something to rejuvenate his game. And his belief seems to be that the more he plays, the better off he is. I don't know if that's the case, but Tiger, I never thought there was even the slightest chance he would play. And I don't think, like I said, I don't think he'll play Torrey Pines either if he's serious about really pacing himself over the course of the year. But that said, it's, as you said, it's exciting to see that Rory McIlroy's committed, we've had enough of a little bit of a break that I think everybody's now excited, and it'll be a fun week.
Very fun week. I got a couple of things on the game that I've been thinking about. One of them is, of course, slow play on the PGA Tour, and it never struck out more fiercely than it did when we had the situation with J.B. Holmes, Alex Noren, and Ryan Palmer, with Jason Day waiting in the clubhouse with that 10 under par. What were your thoughts? I mean, should something have been done to move J.B. Holmes along or penalize him for taking, 4 minutes before he just laid up?
Yeah, that was probably the lowest moment or lowest point, I would say, of the PGA Tour season last year. And, I think the bigger issue I had was that the Tour didn't do something after to make clear that that was not acceptable. And they kind of sugarcoated it, and it was such an embarrassment on national TV to have that. And I think it just speaks to a situation we've reached where they seem to be fearful of ever making a player look bad or criticizing a player, and it is a player's organization. We have to keep that in mind. But those of us who have been pointing these things out have suggested that those kinds of moments are just deadly for the sport, and sometimes you have to let the fans know that you're not tolerating things that waste everyone's time or are rude to other players. You know, that's where I am always astounded, Danielle, on the slow play stuff is the rudeness to the other people who are having to wait.
Yes.
You know, there was an incident at Augusta this year that was not seen, and it kind of made the rounds to people who were watching on Amen Corner Live and said, hey, you got to go back and see this. And Zach Johnson did the same thing. He just couldn't make up his mind, and finally his playing partner went over and asked to play his shot. And I mean, to have to reach that point is astounding.
Yes.
And it's so rude. That's what just always blows my mind, that it's so disrespectful to somebody else. And as long as the Tour doesn't zap them with two shots, those kinds of things will keep happening.
Yes. There's playing the mind games, the competitive mind games.
Sure, sure.
There's that.
And there's drama, too. There's last hole of a tournament. Yeah, we kind of look the other way because it's a big decision. There's a lot of money on the line. Fine, it builds a little drama.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but at that point, when you get to that point, it's like you've totally destroyed any mind game. Now you're just an embarrassment.
Yeah.
And you've lost all your power. I was embarrassed by Patrick Reed. You know, I have...
Oh, come on.
I can't
Ryder Cup drama is good for everybody.
I haven't gotten accustomed to the villain part.
Yeah.
You know, the wrestling match sort of mentality that golf seems to want to incorporate. It came up in the match when they were doing that silly. They didn't even do a good job of calling each other out before the match. And then Patrick Reed is like, I just don't understand. I don't get it. So, but what are your other thoughts about players this year? Three players, number one at various times, just all the different things that have been going on.
Yeah. Well, the whole number one thing speaks to, I think, just a level of parity that's a little bit dangerous. And, we've had our annual chats about the ball and distance and technology,
yes.
And I think really more than anything, we're going to continue seeing this parity because the equipment is so good, and it really masks maybe, and I always struggle with the wording on this, it masks a certain kind of mediocrity, and we're talking about, you know, levels of greatness of the ability to play the game here. There's all these players are really great, and then there are people who are just on another level, and it's harder for them to separate themselves with this equipment. And you know, it's always been something that I thought Tiger Woods would call out sooner than he finally did. And Phil Mickelson is another player who finally has come around and, in the most delicate way, said, "Hey, you know, there are people who strike the ball a certain way, and it's harder for them to now kind of stand out, or who can move the ball a certain way." So I think that's going to be an ongoing thing that we have people recognizing this a little bit more and more now, and because I want somebody to be rewarded for their talent. And
we're talking about the finesse of the game versus
everything. Skill, shot making, consistency. You know, Adam Scott is somebody who views in the most humble way, but he's a very humble guy, but he is a great, great ball striker. And he knows playing golf with people. He can see people who are not, who do not have the consistency of strike of a ball that he does. And they're getting away with better misses because of the way the equipment is made. The driver is the size of a watermelon.
Yeah.
And so it's things like, it's in all areas, Danielle. I mean, there's it's in kind of iron play. It's in driving consistency. It's even in distance. You know, Cameron Champ has come along and is way past everybody right now, which is exciting to have again, but if you look at the numbers, it's incredible. Most of them just hit the ball a very, very long way. So it's even harder for a super long hitter to separate themselves.
And I was wondering, because Cameron Champ seems to have finesse the short game with the long game. You know, it's kind of neat to see that combination rather than bomb and gouge and then go.
Well,
you know,
it is. I think the fear, though, if you look at some of his numbers, and I just wrote a piece for Golf Week on this, I think that the fear is that golf's going to be 80% driving and putting. And his numbers have shown that when he's played really well, his strokes gained, 80% of it came from his driving of the ball and having a hot putting week, and good for him for doing that. But I think our sport is most interesting when it's a combination of things and a combination of ways to succeed. That somebody like Fred Couples was a top player at the same time that Corey Pavin was, to me, incredibly fascinating. That two totally different approaches to the sport, and it's increasingly obvious we're going to have. Yeah, I mean, well, if you come along and you're not a very long hitter, you're going to have to take up another
just walk.
Sport. And I don't like that at all. I think that's a shame.
Yeah. Let's go to Augusta, the first major of the year coming up. Everybody excited when the Masters happens. But the Masters week, it's going to look a whole lot. It's the week of the Masters, but then there's the new Augusta Women's Amateur, followed by Drive Chip Putt,
right,
followed by the Masters.
Well, I'm happy about it because I'll get there another day early and get to hang out in this unbelievable place. And I think it's really neat what what they're doing. I do think it'll be interesting that having Augusta National on national television the weekend before, what that might do to sort of that rush that everybody has of seeing Augusta for the first time on Thursday. But I just think they've kind of decided that that's not really a factor or an important thing anymore, that it's still going to be the Masters and still be exciting and fresh and springtime and all that good stuff. And this is a chance to do something different, and they've been pleased with the drive, chip, and putts influence, and I think they feel like this will do the same thing.
I know. Did you ever think there'd be an Augusta Women's Amateur?
No. Gosh, that was the most shocking thing when that was rolled out, and I think it was shocking to a lot of the people there. I believe it was one of those things that they had sort of sketched out on paper, and for whatever reason, Fred Ridley decided to pull that one out of the drawer and say, all right, it's time for this one, and I don't see any negative at all, and it's all positive.
It absolutely is. We talk so much about the men's game, but yeah, and we talk in the women's game about the top players of the game: Arya Jutanugarn, Alexi Thompson, NB Park. But there are two women who walked away with majors this past year: Pernilla Lindberg and Georgia Hall.
Yeah,
your thoughts.
Well, they were both great finishes, and I mean that was the playoff at the desert was just amazing. Again, there's a little bit of a parity issue with women's golf, though, too. I mean, I love seeing those kinds of stories and wins, and Angela Stanford and the Jutanugarn sisters. Mariah won here in Los Angeles, and that was really a cool moment, but they have their parity issues too. That I think that is something that, you know, again, you love to see the wealth spread and different stories and people win, and you know, Georgia Hall winning in England
is, yes,
sensational. But you also want to see a mega talent, and you know, Arya Jutanugarn had an epic year. She didn't rack up as many wins maybe as somebody has, but her wins were of such high quality at the best events. And by the way, another player who dominates mostly with a 3-wood off the tee, but hits it a long way and yes, and has some really bizarre stats. But she is a kind of a bomb and gouger in the way the men are too. It's an interesting approach, but you know, Alexi's the one you obviously would feel like has the talent to be a superstar, and she just seems to kind of have a lot of ups and downs of late. And I really hope she's able to just kind of have a peaceful year. I mean, that was what was so neat about her win at the end of the year, that she just kind of finally found some peace. It was a neat week because it was the week Charles Howell won. And she won, and now I'm drawing a blank who won that but they were all people who
hadn't won in a long time.
Yeah, and it was really
overcome,
cool.
Yes.
They all kind of came together at the same time, and it just shows you that the talent's always there for these people, but so much of it is, I mean, we obsess about stats and this and if they can get there, you know, their short game, they're chipping around the greens better. It really, no, it's most of the people who are out there are incredibly talented. It's they find a place of quiet, of peace of mind, no distractions, and they just get comfortable, and it all comes together, and it also makes you appreciate the great players, how often they're able to find that place on the course and that consistency that eludes the rest of us.
Amazing talking with you. Jeff Shackelford is senior writer, Golf Week, and contributor, Golf Channel. You should check him out when he does alternate shot. It's so much fun seeing you I'm drawing a blank.
Matt Adams.
Yes, Matt Adams, of course. One, just in a sentence, or a thought, finally, PGA Tour change. This one blows my mind. The FedEx Cup points leader after the first two FedEx Cup playoffs begins a tour championship at 10 under par. The next four players start at 8 under through 5 under, respectively. The next five begin 4 under, Regressing by stroke. What?
In one sentence, it will not work.
Thank you. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Of course, Danielle. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. That's Jeff Shackelford. He is Golf Week senior writer and contributor, Golf Channel, and always a pleasure to talk with. And you should follow him at Jeff Shack and go to his website. He is an author, and his website is jeffshackelford.com. Okay, we're going to come back and talk with Jane Spicer, CEO, Daphne's Head Covers. She does so much that you see on the golf course, you know, on those little animals that are on everybody's. Yes, it's like having teddy bears with you when you're playing golf because you need some solace. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha! Chris Berman here. Join us at the Century Tournament of Champions, January 2nd through 6th at the Plantation Course. There is no better way to kick off the new year than by watching the most elite field in golf, featuring defending champion Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, and more. Tickets start at just $15, and kids get in free. Purchase your tickets today at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurestone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint, it's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurestone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Just a reminder, Sony Open in Hawaii needs help. They need ShotLink operators. They'll train you. You'll be inside the ropes following the players during competition at Wailea Country Club. You help Sony Open in Hawaii, and they'll raise a whole lot of money for Hawaii charities because of your help. It's www.sonyopeninhawaii.com to register. Find out more there. Jane Spicer, CEO, Daphne's Head Covers. Her company specializes in golf club head covers, specializes in designing and manufacturing top quality golf club covers in the world, the best. Co-creator and inventor of the animal head covers. I think I just called them teddy bears. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jane.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me, Danielle.
There's always something about having that little creature that's with you the whole time. When things go great, when things go wrong, it's just still there smiling.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have many goals at Daphne's, and one of them is just to bring a smile to the game of golf. And we all have those bad golf shots where you just think, oh, if you can come back and stroke your head cover and soothe yourself, perhaps it'll center you to make the next shot even better.
You've been doing this for 39 years. Where do you find inspiration for the next head cover?
You know, I'm just a really good listener. Daphne's is successful and creative because of our customers. My whole team knows to listen to all the suggestions, and we write them down all year. And we put tally marks by the ones that are the most popular, that are suggested the most of the time. Then I sit with my design team, and we see if we can create some. So, you know, the wild kingdom and imagination is unlimited, but we just listen to see what it is that people are passionate about each year.
So you started all of this in your home, didn't you, some 30, maybe 40 years ago?
Yeah, when I was 16, I started it, and we didn't have a garage, so I... did it on the dining room table, which I'd have to clear off every day for dinner and move everything away, and then I'd throw everything back out on it. And so it'll be 40 years in April that I sold the first head cover.
Wow, and you sewed them all yourself?
Yeah. Oh, cut, designed, sewed, delivered. My mom, Daphne, our company's namesake, was my mentor and guide, so I was amazed. I was so lucky to have this amazing mentor in my mom. But absolutely everything. I was the full production line and every single department.
And you were 16. What inspired you? Were you in golf?
No, I wasn't in golf at all. I'd started my first company when I was 10. I'd asked my mom for a sailboat, and she said, think of a business and earn it yourself. So I said, well, let's make toys for Christmas. And she helped me, and I sold enough toys just to friends and neighbors that I bought a little 16-foot sailboat. And at that point, I discovered I loved making my own money. So the toys morphed into puppets, and I would sell them at arts and craft shows on the weekends. And somebody suggested that we make golf club covers. So my mom bribed me, because I was almost 16, and she said, I tell you what, if you make enough of these, I'll buy you a car, or
Whoa.
If you sell enough of these.
Yes.
And so that was a big carrot for me. I went out, and we made a birdie, an eagle, and a bogey, because that's what we thought golfers needed, and I gave...
and a bogey.
Yeah.
What was the bogey?
It was a little black head cover with rickrack teeth, and it had bright red tentacles and googly eyes, and we made it as scary as possible, because we just knew it was something bad.
That is wonderful. Do you still have any of those originals?
You know, I do. I got very, very lucky a few years ago. Somebody sent me the original birdie, eagle, and bogey that they had in their garage, and they'd read something about Daphne's. And they sent it back to me, and it meant so much, because it was after my mom had passed, and I thought these things were all gone, and then our first three head covers arrived at my factory. So they're in my office, in a very special place.
I can only imagine how wonderful that would have been to open that up and find that. What a moment of, Jane Spicer, CEO, Daphne's Head Covers, and now she's top 25 women in business from the Phoenix Business Journal. Powerfully positive women entrepreneur, Entrepreneur of the Year nominee, recipient of Gabriel's Angels Precious Paw Award for philanthropy and service. And here we transition just a bit to the things that Jane Spicer has done. She's a very successful businesswoman. You've got that. Now, what is she doing in addition to give back? And when we first spoke a long time ago, it seems like it's been a long time ago, Gabriel's Angels. I have this marvelous dog that goes with me on the golf course. And he is the reason, he's Gabriel. Tell us about him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Gabriel's Angels uses therapy dogs to help abused and at-risk kids. And it's a charity that just speaks to my heart. I abhor violence, and I love children. And I knew the CEO, Pam Gaber of Gabriel's Angels, and when Gabriel, the founding dog, who was a Weimaraner, passed away, I decided to make just one head cover to honor him at the anniversary of his death. And I did in Gabriel's image, and I gave it to her. I did it in public, which probably wasn't very smart because she completely broke down.
Aww.
And I started thinking, I thought, I can do more. So I put it in our line. It's now sold in 30 countries. A portion of the profits goes to Gabriel's Angels. So that's something, we're quarterly sending them checks to support their beautiful work and spreading the word about what they do. So it was, a gift of love that's grown into
a gift of love.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and ongoing. Now, you've expanded your giving, and I love this one. I can't imagine, what does the rescue dog look like?
The rescue dog is loosely shaped after Dottie Pepper's beautiful dog, JP. JP was a Shih Tzu, and the rescue dog is a little bit more muddy, is that a word?
More muddy, like mutt-like. Sure. Mutt-like.
Mutt-like. gray and white and friendly with a tongue hanging out. It'd be the mix of absolutely everything that just brings you so much love.
And what does your rescue dog have a name, or is he just Rescue Dog?
Just Rescue Dog.
Rescue Dog.
Just Rescue Dog.
It's perfect, actually. And what does Rescue Dog do for when people buy a Rescue Dog head cover?
A portion of the proceeds go to the ASPCA. We were very passionate about, you know, I'm a huge animal lover, you know, as you know, and I just ached for all these animals that were affected by the floods and the storms and the fires, and I really applauded their rescue efforts, all the things that were being done, and I wanted to do something. I had to do something, and so I said, let's do this, and, you know, I called Dottie, and she's a dear friend and a big animal lover, and said, hey, will you promote this with me? The only thing that you'll get out of it is that you and I will know that we're helping these animals, and we're both big softies that way, and she said, I'm in. So we just dove in and promoted it, and, you know, we've been able to send donations the whole way along to just help with the ASPCA's good work.
That's wonderful, because, I mean, one of the things that came out during Katrina, I think, Hurricane Sandy and Katrina, was the dogs that were left to fend for themselves. And, you know, we didn't think about that before, seeing the pictures, the video, that, you know, the finding the dogs by themselves, not knowing what happened to my love. Where's my people? And see them shaking and not knowing what to do was traumatic. I mean, it's bad enough seeing human beings in that state, but then to see an animal that's always dependent on people to not have that comfort. So that's just a really wonderful, I'm so glad. And then now with the fires and the just all the things that keep happening around the world, it comes to fore even more so. Now you're speaking of people, you're also working. See, I mean, the Jane Spicer's giving just keeps going here. You're working with Golf for Africa. How did that come about?
Yeah, you know, Betsy King actually turns out to be my neighbor. We never knew, so she lived five minutes away, and I'd always admired what she was doing, and we had talked over the years, you know, hey, I really want to do something. Yeah, I really want to do something, but we're both really busy women, and so we were together at the LPGA Founders Cup in Scottsdale, and I said, you know what, it's time, let's do something, and let's do it right now. Give me a member of your staff because you're busy, and let's create something. So now a portion of the proceeds for our giraffe head cover go to help their good work and provide fresh water for people in Africa and really support what she's doing. As I can't even imagine, you know, and anytime she tells a story and she laughs at me, I cry, and I've heard it over and over. It's like I think my money would probably do more good than my tears, so let's do something.
Yeah. You're thinking about lugging water and often dirty water from far away just to bring it to your home.
Yeah, where your kids are still going to get sick on it because, as you said, it's dirty. And the empowerment that it gives the people and the ripple effect of when the water's there, there's such an enormous ripple effect, Danielle, on the health, the wellness. They have more time to do other things that they need to do, whether it's educate, feed, keep everybody safe. It's a changing dynamic, and her work is beautiful. So, you know, I'm very grateful to just be, if you will, a small drop in the bucket of the work that she's doing.
That's
so
wonderful.
Daphne's Head Covers is honored to help.
That's Golf for Africa, and what they do is they build wells for the clean water. You can find clean water, it's just digging down to it, and it's not all that easy. Then you have to encapsulate the area that you've dug and create a strong well that then can support people. And, I mean, when we think about it, when we're feeling bad, you know, and we're sick and we don't want to do anything at all, imagine if you felt like that and still had to go out and just go find water miles away and drag it home. So what you're doing is wonderful for people and the creatures and that we have around us and our dogs. And ASPCA helps all animals. So that's really good. And I'm a kitty lover.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, Jane Spicer is CEO of Daphne's Head Covers. So where can we find Gabriel and Rescue Dog and Giraffe?
Well, first of all, go to your favorite golf shop. They're the people who built Daphne's Head Covers, and I'm so grateful to them, and ask for Daphne's. And if they don't have the Gabriel, you know, the Weimaraner, the rescue dog, or the giraffe, please go online to daphnesheadcovers.com, and you'll see everything there. And next month, you'll see all our new designs, too, that will be introduced at the PGA show.
Oh, great. This is all the suggestions from people. Then you guys have decided which ones to actually put into production.
Yes, absolutely. And I had a really prolific design year this year, so you'll probably see two introductions, our typical PGA show and maybe a mid-year one, because we had so many suggestions in our design team. We were actually able to get it together and create them.
So. Get it together and create them. Oh, that's marvelous. Jane, when you're at the PGA, you can't tell us, of course. You can't give us a hint, which is the most suggested one, can you?
No, I can't, but I will tell you that it will benefit Girls Golf of Phoenix.
Oh.
Directly. We have one of the largest programs here of Girls Golf, and the person who runs it, Corey Matheson, is one of my mentees and dynamic, and she's changing the face of the valley through golf with these girls. It will be something that the girls suggested, and it will benefit the good work that's happening right here in Arizona with Girls Golf.
Well, I'm excited. This is wonderful that the Girls Golf of Phoenix and that they suggested it specifically.
Yes, I do a lot of work with them. Daphne's Head Covers works closely with Girls Golf of Phoenix and Miami and a variety of others. I think it's a wonderful program by the LPGA, but I spent a lot of time with the girls. When they're on the golf course and there's an event and saying, you know, what would you like?
Yeah.
And what do you want? And there was one that came up over and over and over. And then they were really specific. It wasn't just one thing. It had to have certain things, which made a huge design challenge for me. But we did it. We did it. So I can't even wait to introduce it at the show. I'm so excited.
I am too. And the reason why is when I think of girls today, they're on the phone all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, other than their phone, what could be something that they would all suggest that would be in common, you know? So that's going to be a great insight into our young ladies today. Jane Spicer, CEO, Daphne's Head Covers, you can find in your pro shop. And I love that you did that. You go to the pro shops, go to a golf course. Don't be intimidated if you don't golf, but you want to get somebody something like this. Go just drive into the golf course and park your car, walk into the building and say, where's the pro shop? And then they'll point you, if it's not right where you've walked into, and say, I'm looking for head covers because I heard about them and I want to get Daphne's head covers. Do you have Daphne's head covers? I want rescue dog. I want Gabriel, or I want the giraffe, whichever it is. And if they don't have it, maybe they can bring it in and it'll be a permanent fixture in the pro shop, or you can go to daphnesheadcovers.com. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Danielle, thank you very much for having me, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yes, 2019. Aloha. We're going to come back and meet somebody I have not met yet. His name is Andy Johnson. He's the Fried Egg founder. He's a writer. He has a podcast. He's done so much. Andy Johnson, coming up after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Celebrate the new year with the tour's big hitters at Wailea, January 7th through 13th. Golf's best, like Patton Kizzire, Justin Thomas, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, and Bryson DeChambeau, bring big game drama, creating big money for Hawaii charities. Get your tickets now at SonyOpenInHawaii.com or at First Hawaiian Banks on Oahu. Military free with ID. Admissions and bag policy. Visit SonyOpenInHawaii.com. SonyOpenInHawaii.com.
Cut it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment helps you get it done with our Christmas and year-end warehouse blowout sale. Honda EB and EU 2800 generators for $9.99. EU 3000, $21.99. Echo, chainsaws starting at $1.99. And we throw in the chain. Maruyama and Echo Weed Eaters starting at $2.99. Husqvarna Model S at closeout pricing. Aloha Power Equipment at both Sand Island and Waipahu. Your landscape is growing.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's master craftsmen can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Well, first off, this is the first time to meet, and so we're going to introduce you in the proper way. But before we do, introduce you to Andy Johnson. Sony Open Hawaii needs ShotLink operators for the Sony Open in Hawaii at the Waialae Country Club. Your help makes the Sony Open in Hawaii possible and raises money, a lot of money, for Hawaii charities. That is then matched by the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation. So the doubled money goes to the charities. And I've been told that it's not difficult to learn how to use ShotLink, and they'll teach you. Just go to www.sonyopeninhawaii.com to register or find out more about that. Okay, now, Andy Johnson, young man, starts off in the world. He is a caddy for a while. He's a caddy. He is a teacher of junior golfers, sometimes 50 at a time. He's a bagroom attendant. He manages members' equipment and tee times and tournaments. He teaches the kids etiquette and swing bases in classes with up to 50, and he played varsity golf. Then he goes into the world of business out of college. He's in the tech world and commercial insurance. And then he founded the Fried Egg. Welcome into the clubhouse, Andy.
Hey, Danielle, great to meet you, and thanks for the great introduction.
Absolutely, and I've got to tell you that I get that you have all this interest in golf, then you go into high business with tech and commercial insurance. What brought you back into golf and the Fried Egg?
Being in the tech world, I just had a entrepreneurial itch, and the company I was working for was a media company, so I was learning a bunch about how people read, listen, watch content, and I thought about myself, and I'm a certified golf tragic, and decided to start something that would really kind of curtail to my interests, and I thought that my interests might be other people's interests as well. So that's kind of how the Fried Egg got started.
And tell me why you call it the Fried Egg.
You know, I think coming up with a name is like one of the hardest things. And I started the company with just my newsletter that goes out, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it originally was called The Golf Hack. It was like the first newsletter. And one of my old bosses, I sent it to. And my subject line was your Wednesday morning Friday Gly. And he goes, you know, you should just call it the Fried Egg. It's, you know, my advice to any aspiring entrepreneur would be don't name your company after a common food, because it makes it really hard to rank on Google.
Yes. And I'm like, okay, I know when the ball hits the sand, and you know, there's those references to it being buried in like an egg, right?
But, yep. That's the idea.
Yes, but then fried totally threw me. You know, I was like, okay, fried egg. I'm not sure. You're based in the Chicago area, the greater Chicago area. So there's lots I want to talk to you about because, of course, Mark Rolfing is a frequent guest on the show. He's very, very hot on what's happening with the all of a sudden the name of it went right out of my mind. That's terrible. The Chicago
the Parks
Park Golf
yeah.
Alliance. Yes, exactly. A Jackson Park thing. So I'd love to hear more about that. But I also listened to some of your podcasts and saw some of your writing. The podcast that I heard was interesting. It was so much about players and performances and trends. And yet your website shows us a lot about what's happening in the world of architecture. How did you get into golf architecture?
I think one of the things I grew up caddying, and a caddy's job is to figure out how to get a player around a golf course. I grew up playing a muni course, but the Chicago area has a lot of great golf courses, and I was lucky to caddy at one of them, and I play another one a couple times a year with my grandfather, and you know, it was something where I learned from a young age that certain courses are special, and then I got interested in what made them special. You know, what the difference was between the muni that I grew up playing, that's, you know, a pretty typical municipal golf course that you'd see around the country, versus, you know, Shore Acres, which is in the hometown I grew up in, which is, you know, one of the, you know, 50 or 60 best courses in the country, and wow, maybe the world. So it's like, yeah, I got an interest at a young age as to why these courses were great, what made a great golf course great. And you know, the Golf Club Atlas is, you know, been around for now a couple decades, and that was one of the things I would read, you know, just your regular college kid reading Golf Club Atlas in his free time.
So, you're a real fried egg, you know that?
Yeah.
So when you go to About on Andy Johnson's website, thefriedegg.com, it says golf. It's every player against the course, 18 holes, 14 clubs, infinite possibilities. That's a really great summation of what the game is all about. It's not against another person, it's against the course.
Yep. Yeah, that's the thing I kind of noticed, is that there's all this great coverage of the professional game, but, you know, at the end of the day, if you look at the, you know, PGA Tour's social media feeds, they have about 3 million fans, and if you look at, you know, the number of golfers in the country, there's 22 million or whatever the latest number is,
right,
something 20 to 25 million is. And it's like, well, the majority of golfers actually aren't really that big of fans of the, you know, they aren't PGA Tour diehards. And there's one commonality between every golfer, is that you play golf on a golf course. So the golf courses, I feel like, are in some way the most undercovered aspect of the sport, of the game. You know, when you go out to a restaurant, people pick restaurants because they like restaurants, and golf courses in a way are very similar to restaurants. And there's, you know, an average consumer doesn't necessarily know exactly why they love a certain golf course, but they know they love it. You know, just like they don't know why they love a certain restaurant, what makes the chicken parmesan at their favorite Italian restaurant so great, but they know they love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why the people talk about this course suits his eye. You know, it's like, this person doesn't want to play at that golf course because it doesn't make them feel good. It doesn't suit their eye. It doesn't make them feel, and everybody who plays the game will go, well, I don't know about that golf course. I just don't play well there. And that has a lot to do with wanting which golf course you want to choose.
Yes. Yeah. And that's one of the coolest parts of the game, I think, is the golf courses and exploring the golf courses. And I think, you know, playing the world's greatest golf courses is amazing, but one of the things that I think is my biggest passion is when you find a great golf course that not a lot of people know about, that costs, you know, $20 to $50 for yes. somebody to play, and that's really, I think, the coolest thing about golf is when you start to explore more, you find all these great places that are affordable and have great architecture and are just a joy to play, and they don't kill your wallet.
Exactly. I know one of the breaking news stories on Andy Johnson, the fried egg. He's just the fried egg. He founded it. Breaking news. Tom Doak set to redesign Houston's popular Memorial Park with sights on hosting the PGA Tour's Houston Open starting in 2020. So is Houston's Memorial Park one of those expensive golf courses or something that most people can go to? Because you called it popular, I got confused.
Yeah, it's a municipal course really close to City Center in Houston. It's an old design. It was John Bremendous, who's a famous Texas architect. I think he designed it in 1936. I'm not sure, but it's one of the most popular golf courses in the country. I think they log anywhere between 60,000 to 80,000 rounds a year. It's very affordable, like a lot of the city golf courses. I think the green fees are around $50, and I think one of the great things about that project is, as I understand it, the Houston Astros Foundation is putting up most of the money, and is private money that's going into this renovation. And the goal is to get the tournament closer to the city because it had been played in the suburbs, and get it on a golf course that's affordable and open to the public and has great and interesting architecture. So that's going to be a really exciting project to watch and see Tom Doak, and he's working with the number one player in the world, Brooks Koepka, as a player consultant, come up with that at Memorial Park. So from everything I've heard, Brooks has been really engaged in the project, and Tom's one of the greatest architects around right now.
Oh, he's wonderful. We're doing work at Wildlife Country Club, and he was on the show talking. He's a fascinating person. You did, what was the name of the show that you did with Tom Doak, several of them? Doak and the Yoke?
The Yoke with Doak. Yeah, it's our ongoing ongoing series. I'm excited. I know you make small tweaks to Wildlife every year, and I'm really excited to see what's new in 2019.
When are you coming?
I don't know. That's Hawaii. My wife would love to come.
yes,
I guess I'll see when I can get out there. Maybe next year.
That's a good anniversary gift that can be used for sometime around this time of year. Sort of combine it into a New Year's, Christmas, anniversary gift.
Exactly. I've never been to Hawaii. It's high on my bucket list of non-golf destinations.
Oh, that's I hope you do.
And
come.
I'm a Seth Rayner fanatic. I love Seth Rayner. So Wildlife, one of his last designs. So I definitely on my bucket list.
Oh, then you should also play Mid Pacific Country Club. He also he passed away before it was finished, but he started that design. Such a shame that he died so young. I got to ask you about the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance, because you're
for
just
sure.
talking about Houston doing this, work on a public course that'll host a major event on the PGA Tour. And that's kind of the hope that will eventually happen for Chicago. And I've heard great things about the possibilities, but I've also heard that there are some problems. Give us from the Chicago perspective your thoughts.
And anything that involves the city of Chicago is going to be a difficult task.
Oh,
so that's like the first thing off the bat. Being a city of Chicago resident, it makes everything a little bit more difficult when you try and do it in the city of Chicago. That being said, it's a really fascinating project. They're taking two golf courses, two very old historic golf courses. So Jackson Park, which is the main parcel of land, was built for the World Fair back in the 1890s. It's one of the first public golf courses in America, and it's remained the same since then. And then there's South Shore, which used to be South Shore Country Club, and that's where you have the dramatic lake views and views of the Sears Tower, the Chicago skyline.
Yeah.
And that golf course, combining the two, they're both very short and small courses. One's 18, one's 9, South Shore's 9. Combining the two gives them enough land for 18 championship golf holes.
Ah.
So one of the tricky things is that they're divided by roads, like very busy city roads. So those have to be, you know, a tunnel has to be done, which adds a ton to the cost. One of the beautiful things, though, is they're doing it at the same time as the Obama Library is being built. So what they'll get, the benefit they get is they get all that dirt that the Obama Library is digging out, they can use to create more interest in the land with that dirt. So they'll just move that dirt from being dug out from the Obama Library over to the Jackson Park, and they'll have more land, you know, more dirt to move stuff around and build more interest in the land. But I think the most exciting thing from the whole project is the caddy program that they're developing for the neighborhood kids. I grew up as a caddy, you know, from age 12 through all the way through college. And I think caddying is like one of the greatest jobs. It teaches you it teaches you about the game of golf, but more importantly, it teaches you how to interact with a wide range of people from a wide range of ages. You know, you have to, you know, great caddies understand what a player wants without even asking them on the first hole. And I think, you know, my life obviously was greatly impacted by caddying because I learned all those personal skills. So the caddies, as I believe, will be subsidized by a fund as well as the WGA. So there'll be free caddies. The caddies will get paid after the round. You know, gratuity will be encouraged from the people taking these free caddies. And then the back half of it is that any kid from the neighborhood under 17 plays for free, and city residents, the rate's like $50. So I think the price will be pretty expensive for this Tiger Woods golf course that they're proposing for out-of-towners or people coming in from the suburbs. But for the city residents, the rates will be very, very affordable for what hopefully is a top-notch golf experience.
We are KPUA Hilo, KORLYNI Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. So, you know, we're a radio show, so we've got to take care of the SEC. We're on four islands. It's really quite wonderful. For 2019, I'm talking with Andy Johnson, founder of The Fried Egg. You really must check him out, thefriedegg.com. It may redirect you to his new site. And I got used to your old site, now it's a new site, so I have to get used to your new site.
It was a big upgrade. It was long overdue moving to the new site.
You were talking on your last website, and this is our last podcast on your website, that I was listening to about 2019. And just wrapping up our conversation now, you were talking about Cameron Champ being probably the biggest story, other than Tiger Woods coming back, coming into the game. Why?
I think it's just the prodigious length. I think he's the... when Tiger Woods came in, it was a similar situation. Obviously, John Daly was a long hitter, but Tiger Woods, when he came in, was a long hitter, straight ball hitter, and Cameron Champ is the same way. The amazing thing is he hits it 340, 350, but he also hits it incredibly straight. And with that distance, he's just able to overpower a golf course, and I think he's just... there's a lot of other young kids that are still in college that we'll see soon. One that name that people should keep an eye on is Matt Wolf, who's playing at Oklahoma State. He's another guy that just they hit it so far, and in the sense that it makes the game a little bit less. You don't need as many skills because they have wedges into, you know, pretty much every green out there. Like if you hit a 350, a 500 yard hole leaves 150 yards. It's a wedge for these guys. So I think what they are is they're kind of the new wave of golfers, and we're going to see more and more of this. So we saw JT and Jordan Spieth and Daniel Berger and Bryson DeChambeau. All these guys have had unbelievable success at a really early age, and Cameron Champ is the next wave of this, and he's doing it in a way that we haven't ever seen before, where you put him and DJ on the same tee, and Cameron Champ's going to be 15, 20 yards past him, which is an unbelievable thing to think about.
And I can't wait for the Century Tournament of Champions because they're going to be there. A real pleasure. Andy Johnson, founder of the Friday. You'll have to be on the show again. Good talking with you.
Thanks so much for having me on, Daniel.
Absolutely. Aloha. We're going to come back. Brandel Chambly is going to join us, and he's, of course, at the Century Tournament of Champions, getting ready for action that's coming up real soon. I mean, goodness gracious, right after, well, New Year's, even before that. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha! Chris Berman here. Join us at the Century Tournament of Champions, January 2nd through 6th at the Plantation Course. There is no better way to kick off the new year than by watching the most elite field in golf, featuring defending champion Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Rory McIlroy, and more. Tickets start at just $15. And kids get in free. Purchase your tickets today at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
It always happens to the other guy. That 100-year flood. Or broken sewer pipe on the floor of his business. When it happens to you, don't panic. Call the pros. Oahu Extraction. Water, mold, mud, or worse. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Call Oahu Extraction at 808-330-6162. Direct insurance billing, licensed and bonded. We'll handle all the restoration for you. Oahu Extraction.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Brandel Chambly, PGA Tour, Golf Channel analyst, golfchannel.com contributor. I saw a podcast. I heard a podcast. I was watching him. This is Brandel Chambly in the clubhouse. Welcome, Brandel.
Well, nice to talk to you, Danielle, as always. Pleasure to be here in Hawaii as well.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you're right here, same time zone. We've never done this before. This is very unusual. We were just talking with the Friday, Andy Johnson, and I think you heard the conversation about the long distances these kids are hitting the ball and that could be a trend. At the same time, you wonder what happens to the game of golf. You know, what are your thoughts on this new trend of distance?
Well, I think it's the perfect storm to see unprecedented growth in the distance that players are hitting the golf ball. For the better part of the history of this game, players would come along occasionally who were substantially longer than anybody else. Jack Nicklaus certainly separated himself. Arnold Palmer did that. Obviously, Tiger Woods, Norman, and the like. But they were the exceptions. But there was always room for players who didn't hit it particularly long to compete and, to some extent, dominate. If you look at the 80s, Curtis Strange was leading money winner. Tom Kite was. There were numerous players that you wouldn't call long hitters. Lanny Watkins. Players could make their bones at the higher echelons of the game without hitting it prodigious distances. But that is changing, and I think rather quickly, and will continue to change. And it'll be much, much harder for players without substantial length to make their way to the top of the money list. There were almost 100 players last year on the web.com tour that averaged 300 yards. So Cameron Champ, I think, is the tip of the iceberg, because now you have more athletic players, taller players, coming to the game and with a better understanding of the motions that you need to make to hit the ball, 9 miles.
We've been talking about length and the effect it has on golf courses and obliterating the older courses like Marion for a long time. So does this mean we need to, bust out golf courses, but there's no room for so many of them to get larger and longer? What happens here?
I certainly, I will and do debate people about whether or not it obsoletes golf courses. The winning score at Marion, the last time we played the U.S. Open there was 281, which was higher than the previous time the U.S. Open was played at Marion. Oakmont stands up quite well. Pebble Beach stands up quite well. Pebble Beach is under 7,000 yards. The use of dog legs and interesting green features still, I think, holds those golf courses in some stead to the distances that players hit the ball. Having said that, I think there's a couple of things that need to be done. I think you can sort of reinvigorate architecture. I think the first thing we should try is a different idea of architecture. And I only say different. It is no different, really. I mean, we're talking about the principles that were used back in the golden age of architecture. When we go play Scotland or Ireland, the thing that I think catches players out is bunkers used in a creative way for every single distance. It holds players accountable, no matter if you're the player that hits it 200 yards or 350 yards. There are bunkers everywhere on the golf courses. Now, they have to do that for the changing winds and how fast the golf courses play, but maybe they were just that forward-thinking. And I think we need to, in the United States at least, have some architects design golf courses with different types of bunkering to sort of hold the players in check, hold the Cameron Champs in check, and also different setups. Setups have become far more lenient on the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
The average cost of missing a fairway on the PGA Tour is 0.1 shot. 0.1 shot. I mean, think about that. I mean, that is next to nothing. The cost of missing a fairway, and again, I mean, you can use, philosophically, you need to figure out what type of golfer you need to find and reward, what type of golf you'd like to see, but 0.1 is not a sufficient penalty for missing the fairway, and that is encouraging players to swing as hard as they can. If it were a penalty of, say, 0.4, 0.5 shots, players would use softer golf balls. They would use golf balls that spun more, and they would use drivers with smaller heads so they would have less moment of inertia in the driver so that they could curve their shots more. And the game would organically change to shorter hitters, more creative golf. But you have to do that with architecture and with setup. That's the first thing I would suggest. The last thing I would suggest is a ball rollback. Having said that, if the committees and the powers that be decide that the ball needs to be rolled back, I'd be okay with that too. But the first thing to me would be more interesting designs and a different philosophy of setups.
I couldn't agree with you more about the setup. It seems like when they go to Europe, like the Ryder Cup, they couldn't play their game, that long game, and then just hitting it onto the green and putting. They weren't able to use their imagination or whatever it was that holds you back. And I'm not at that level. I have no idea. Whereas you, Brandel Chamblee, Golf Channel analyst, you understand. But it seems like the PGA Tour just makes it too darn simple for these guys just to get on the green and drop the ball.
Well, we had no answer for Tommy Gainey or Francesco Molinari or Justin Rose. We had no answer. When you go to a golf course where you have to find the fairway or you pay a significant penalty, what happened at the Ryder Cup was very easy to predict. Very easy. Not only did Europe have the home country, home course advantage, just the nature of the golf course put Europe put them as the predominant favorite. There was just no way the United States was going to be able to play well, because they don't play golf courses ever where there's that kind of penalty on the PGA Tour. And Europe, because they do occasionally play golf courses with such penalties on the European Tour because they do play in more inclement weather. And basically because the golf swings I think that they have are just better. They had the upper hand there from start to finish. That's for sure.
Yeah. Tiger Woods. You know, when I was listening to your podcast, I was thinking, why isn't Randall Shambly a swing coach? Why aren't you a swing coach?
Well, I've never developed that skill, and I think it is a skill. Mm-hmm. One thing I would say, what I am is a theorist. I study golf swings. I go out and I work on my own golf swing using the ideas that I study and I think understand quite well. But it's another thing to go out and work day after day, year after year, with every single kind of player and be able to affect change. Now, I think I could be a fabulous swing coach, but I'm under no illusion that I could just go out tomorrow and teach the golf swing like Butch Harmon or Pete Cowan, or Lucas Wald, who I think is terrific, or George Gankis. You know, these guys, I watch them all. I think they're terrific. They're fabulous, and there is some great instruction in the game of golf. But there's also some terrible instruction in the game of golf. Absolutely terrible. Terrible for the best players in the world. But I watch it all. But I just have never had the time or the inclination to go out and teach. Perhaps someday, you know, in my fading years, I'll crumple out there like Harvey Pinnock and yes. Sit on the right and watch the world hit golf balls and try to help them.
The reason I thought of that was when you were talking about Tiger Woods and the swing changes he needs to make. And I thought that was that you noticed between LA and Honda. Can you talk to us about that?
Well, look, when Tiger played his best golf, and, you know, there's so many different swings, it's hard to talk about which swing was the better one, but clearly the one that played the best golf was 1999 to 2002. He did some things very early in his backswing where he moved off of the ball into his right side and then had a much bigger hip turn. And basically his head moved off the ball and it stayed tall. And it's as simple as that. It really is for him. And that's, as good an athlete as he is, that's all he needed to do. But he got into this idea of staying centered, which is, well, it's just a pernicious thought for a lot of different reasons. And he got into this idea of staying centered, which caused him to move towards the golf ball or towards the target in his downswing. And so he was far too left in his downswing. And then he jumped straight up. If he would move off of the golf ball, the move towards the target in the early part of his downswing would put him right in the right spot to rotate and extend. And in L.A., he was still centered. Even though his golf swing was better, in my opinion, than it was from 2010 to 2013-14, he was still staying centered. And because he was staying centered, his golf swing was not as wide, it wasn't as long, he didn't have as much time in the transition, and he was stalling on the way down. His hips were stalling. And a simple move off of the golf ball has a cumulative effect, at least for Tiger Woods, where he was. And that was the difference. I mean, he moved from Genesis last year to the Honda. He moved off of the golf ball probably a couple of inches, and his head didn't drop as much. And, again, there were so many corresponding things that then fell into place for him. And the minute I saw him make the swing in Honda, I thought, well, okay, he can win now. He can play. He can drive it somewhat in play. And as the year went on, he got better and better.
Yeah, it was truly a marvelous year to watch Tiger Woods. And then that finale at the Tour Championship when he won. I was always nervous, though, throughout the year about Sunday. Because for a long time, he would just make the cut and then blow it on the weekend, which didn't make any sense because he was always so consistent before the incidents in his life. Then he got pretty good on Saturday, but it was Sunday. You just didn't know what Tiger was going to pull out of the bag on a Sunday. Is that mental? Is it physical? Is it tired?
Well, I think it's a combination of all those things. You know, first off, his golf swing was nowhere near as good as it used to be. He just couldn't rely on it. He was still a fabulous iron player. He had what I would call a fabulous iron swing. I mean, obviously, you're not moving off the ball as much or even at all with an iron swing. And your golf swing's a little shorter with irons. But once he tried to hit his driver, or unless he was hitting trap cuts with his three wood, he was fine. But once he tried to hit driver, he was much more unpredictable. And I think mentally he's not quite the player that he was. And that's understandable as well. I think a lot of that has to do with what happened late in 2009, and some of that has to do with age. And, you know, there's the perfect storm of factors that I think had sort of incrementally robbed Tiger Woods of the genius that we saw from 96 to 2009. But, you know, I think at least one of those, the dominant one of those, is age now. He's going to be 43 years old the next time we watch him play.
He's in such physically gifted condition. He doesn't look 43.
No, he's certainly fit, but I would say I can't think of an older 43-year-old to ever play the game of golf.
Mm.
You know, he's banged up on the inside, that's for sure. You know, I think there were times this year when he had some aches and pains, and you could see him sometimes move slower, and there's just no way he couldn't. Later in the year, he started talking about his Achilles or his ankles.
Yes, his ankles is bothering him.
And that came out of nowhere. And, you know, he talked about it at Hero. He said, yeah, my ankles have been bothering me for a couple of months. Well, I'm 56 years old. My ankles don't bother me.
Are you going to play PGA Tour Champions?
I am going to try to play, a handful of events next year when I find a couple of weeks off to sort of try to get my game in some semblance of shape. I played last year at the Senior Open, qualified, which was great, and then missed the cut. But it did give me a little bit more hunger to go out and play. I don't have a whole lot of time. I'm busy. I'm busy with my job.
I'm trying to do my best as I can, and
that takes a lot of time on my part to do it the way I want to do it.
And to be able to focus and put the time in that it takes to really get consistent.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Have you played on Maui yet?
No, we went out yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not in Maui yet. We're on our way there on the 31st. We're in Oahu now.
Oh, hi. You're right next door.
Yeah. What's funny, when we landed the other day, we got in our rental car and started driving over here. And the radio station was on, I think, 96 point whatever, the crater. And I heard your voice on the radio, and I turned to my wife, Bailey, and I said, that's Danielle right there. I guarantee you. And sure enough, you signed off with this Daniel Tucker. So we're here in Oahu, and we're hiking all these crazy hikes. And yesterday we went over to play Turtle Bay, but it was just an awful storm. So we turned around and came back and got shut down for the day.
Today
we're headed over to play this sort of linksy golf course that not many people, even in Hawaii, know about. Kahuku. Have you heard of Kahuku?
Of course. We all know about Kahuku. Kahuku's
okay.
Fabulous. But, you know, you've got to bring everything that you want to have with you, because the pro shop is not a pro shop. It's a place where they'll take your money, like, I don't know, $10. I'm not sure what they're charging right now, right? And you can get a push card if you don't have one, you know?
Right. My wife got us these little bitty bags where the whole set of clubs doesn't weigh anything. So we're gonna hoof it out there at Kahuku, play 9 or 18 or whatever, and then we're going to hike some crazy 5-hour hike to a crater. If you don't hear from me, you know I got swallowed up by the lava gods.
You've been blessed.
Yes, I've been blessed. That's right. I'll go off into the Pelés of the world.
Oh my goodness. So then after, I'm so glad you're exploring Oahu, because a lot of people don't understand how beautiful this island is, because when you land, you just see all these buildings and it's like there's roads. And
I always say there's very few places in the world that I've been to that exceed my expectations, but Hawaii is one of them. It's my favorite. My wife and I came here on our honeymoon. It's my favorite place over the years to come. I always try to get here in between tournaments as often as I can, not just to play golf, but to fish and to hike and just relax, because I don't know of a more relaxing place than Hawaii anywhere in the world.
Let's talk a little bit about Century Tournament of Champions. Fabulous field.
Yes, absolutely. They have over look, Phil's never come over really and embraced this event. And
I
played in it, and that's disappointing, no question about it. But I think in the last 6-7 years, in particular these young kids who are just wonderful to be around and watch play, have embraced this event, and Mark Rolfing's done a great job promoting it. And, you know, the event, when you get over here, sort of sells itself, and I think the word's got out. So it's great. This year, Rory's coming over. I talked to the tournament director, Alex Irvin, the other day. He was very excited about the fact that Rory was coming, and Dustin, obviously, having won big, is going to be here, and Justin and John Rahm played so well, and Cameron Champ's going to be here. Just so it's going to be terrific. 32 players, but, you know, there'll be plenty of stars to go around.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And you're taking off to Kahuku. It's gonna,
that's right.
You know, and you're having a great time, and you go for a 5-hour hike. You have a great dinner, and you'll sleep really well tonight.
That's right. Well, thank you. Yes, our anniversary is tomorrow, so we've got a big anniversary dinner. And then on the 31st, we're headed over to Maui. We're going to play McKenna for a few days. And then I'm actually playing in the Pro-Am at the Tournament of Champions on Wednesday. So I've got a lot of golf over the next few days.
That's wonderful. And it's certainly, I appreciate you being on the show and catching up with you. Love doing this during the holidays, that December period when you have time. Have a great time.
Happy, thanks so much.
Happy,
it's always a pleasure following you and listening to you.
Thank you very much, and Happy New Year and happy anniversary. And please say hello to your wonderful wife. I love her, and she needs to be on. I was thinking of inviting the two of you on together.
Well, she's a heck of a lot more fun than I am.
No.
Hi, Bailey.
Hi, Bailey. How are you?
Good. You, happy holidays.
Happy holidays. You're dragging him off on a 5-hour
hike.
I am. We're going to do the steps. Hike tomorrow, the 1,200 steps and Diamond Head, and I took them out paddleboarding yesterday or 2 days ago. So
we did Manoa Falls hike, which is a fabulous hike. It's only about an hour and a half long, and to get there and see the waterfall so close to Honolulu was a real treat, and definitely got my heart pumping. But this one today, 5 hours. He's got the whole shoes. We're ready to go.
You're ready to go. It sounds like the Ridgeline Trail. Thank you so much for being on the show. Bailey Brandel, have a wonderful time, and see you on Maui.
Thank you very much, Danielle. Look forward to it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Aloha. And we want to thank the people who make this show possible, of course. The Golf Club, made possible by these great people at Futurestone, Creative Plumbing, Oahu Extraction, and, of course, Aloha Power Equipment, Hawaii's largest power equipment showroom, 2 locations, Honolulu and Waipahu. For now, Waipahu is taking the week off, and you can go to the Honolulu Sand Island store, the Sand Island location, open this week. Of course, you can also take advantage of the blowout clearance prices that they have right now at your beautiful Aloha Power Equipment showroom at the Sand Island location. Oahu Extraction, boy, when it floods, and we had a lot of water yesterday, or worse, the sewer pipes break, or mud inundates your home, call Oahu Extraction 24/7 on-site, 90 minutes, 808-330-6212. That's in 90 minutes. They will be here. Go to oahuextraction.com. Creative Plumbing, whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. That's Creative Plumbing. Futurestone's master craftsmen can turn your project, like a building that you're going to redo, you can take your warehouse and turn that ugly concrete floor into what looks like marble. I'm serious. And you can choose the color, any color that'll match. And you can turn your warehouse into a showroom and your office so that you can save money and do better business. Yes, indeed. That's Futurestone. Okay, I have a couple of thoughts that I wanted to share with you. First of all, some of the great things that happened in Hawaii. Hawaii State Junior Golfers Association in 2018, Peter Jung, the junior golfer, captured the Turtle Bay Open. He's a HSJGA member and qualified for the Sony Open through the HSGA Governor's Cup. Way to go, Peter. Congratulations. The Aloha Section PGA, the new Texas hub, is going to make it affordable for all of our Aloha Section PGA members to get to the meetings. And the idea that Top Golf is coming to Hawaii, that was announced in 2018. And of course, the Sony Corporation and Century Insurance committing for years to come to be in Hawaii, help raise money for all of our charities. And Sony Open in Hawaii could use some ShotLink operators. So give them a call or just go to SonyOpenInHawaii.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.